I'd like now to welcome Denise Cope. She is a hospice nurse and end-of-life coach and author of the award-winning book Dying, A Natural Passage. And Ulla Peterson. She's founder and director of Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary. She's also a nurse and bereavement counselor. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
So the two of you are going to be giving a presentation, actually in just a little while, today at 11:45, called Being with Dying. What's that all about?
Well, for me, it's all about when I first started teaching, I wrote my book, and then before I wrote my book, I was teaching about dying, and I always saw it as a human process. And then I had my cat go through the dying process many years ago, and she taught me that it is the same process, whether we're two-legged or four-legged. Physiologically, it is the same process. Just like we've all come into this world, all four-leggeds and two-leggeds have come into this world through pregnancy and birth.
Right.
It's a physiologic, and yet each birth is unique. You know, whales take 2 years, a mouse probably takes 6 weeks or less. And so it's different, and then it's different among the individuals. But once I realize that, when I'm teaching about dying and the dying process, I go, how to be with dying, we have to understand the physiological process instead of the cultural myth of what we're watching. We need to understand what it really is, and that it's natural to not want to eat, natural to withdraw from interest in food and fluids and people. And there's just a way that we our bodies know how to die, and we need to learn as a society how to support that.
Yeah, we came together because we have known each other for years in the hospice community here in Santa Fe, and of course my focus is primarily on the animals. Kindred Spirits is an end-of-life care and hospice organization, sanctuary for animals, especially dogs, horses, and poultry. And so, of course, that's my focus, but I have worked for many years as an RN and worked with the dying process and families and so forth. And Denise and I have been sharing notes on that, and I come into many situations where guardians of dying animals are in a great deal of distress and sort of feeling lost in this whole area of the unknown. How to be with this whole process of approaching death and this whole sort of gray area in between, what is going on. Well, we may never really know what's going on in the full sense of the word, but there's so many ways we can become more knowledgeable and that where we can be more supportive of the animal or of the person that is going through this similar process, which is basically approaching death, going towards the door and through the door. And that's, of course, what our hospice sanctuary is about, to help the animals go not only to the door, but through the door in a loving and supportive way. And so that's why we're having this talk today, to share that with the community, and we look forward to it.
So this is being presented, this presentation, Being with Dying, by Santa Fe Doorways. What's that?
Santa Fe Doorways is an end-of-life care coalition. We're 10 years old, and it's several people who work in different capacities with end-of-life care in the community, and we've evolved into having a once-a-month meeting at Ponce de Leon from 11:45 to 1 o'clock, and we talk about topics related to end-of-life. And we've been doing this for 10 years. And people, what I've watched in the last year and a half is the community interest is really grown. It used to be maybe we'd gotten down to where maybe there were 12 regulars. Now it's easily 30 to 40 people.
And these are mostly caregivers?
It's everybody. It's people, because I put an ad in the paper. It's people who come because of the topic, like a woman's coming today who's at a point of looking at euthanizing her animal. So she's drawn by the topic. Other people are drawn because we've become a loose community. And other people are come because they want to be networking with other people in this field. So it's people from all kinds of different interests, some caregivers, some professional caregivers, family members.
And I think, I mean, people losing their animals and people losing those close to them, those people close to them. And as you said, Ola, there, or as you both said, there's a similarity in this process because we're the same kind of biological organisms with, I guess with both, but somehow for me, particularly with animals, there's this kind of helplessness that they have because they can't understand what's going on. All they can do is suffer and just try to get through it.
I think that's a really good point you bring up because in our culture we often associate suffering with as something that's nearly sort of go hand in hand with dying, you know, and of course there's all kinds of reasons for that with people's, you know, various religious philosophical indoctrinations and so forth. And however, you know, in my experience and working with animals and dying, it's really important to differentiate between what is the essential dying process and what might be other circumstantial kind of processes involved, such as a disease process or, say, it could be arthritis or something like that. That may indeed bring suffering, but that's not really what the dying process is. You see what I mean? So it's really important to differentiate between those two. And of course, we do want to treat the if there is any suffering and pain, and we certainly do. And at our sanctuary, there's a very important part of it. If there is uncontrollable pain, that we do go to euthanasia. Then, if we cannot manage the pain, and certainly nobody should be sitting in suffering at all of animals. But back to your other part of the topic there of the issue is that I don't really see animals experience distress about dying itself. It's something that is part of their experience of life, so to speak.
Well, Ola Peterson, I mean, you have basically your sanctuary is in many ways a hospice for older animals, and I've been there so many times and I'm particularly focused on the dogs, although you've got all kinds of animals there. When a dog is coming to the end of its life and going through the dying process, you don't see them suffering so much?
No, not in my experience. And not the dying process itself. And of course, if there's pain related to that part of their aging and that part of there may be debility and, you know, seizing of the life force in general leading up to it, which is normal, then, you know, that's a different section. But the actual dying process, I don't see a distress about it. Now, in situations where there can be distress about it, I see it as being more the caregiver's projections of their difficulty to let go, because we all know that especially dogs are so empathic by nature, and they are so take care of you, really. That, you know, is so ingrained in how we take care of each other, that codependency there.
They take care of you by snatching entire cheeses off of your plate.
Hiding your underwear and all such things. Anyway, but that is, so that's a real important thing that if we can be clear about that, and we can talk a little bit more about that later on maybe, because it's a really big subject of how we can let them pass, really. And there is, in my experience, both the both and kind of, where you can set them free back into spirit, and you can also have tears about it, because we are left behind. And it's sad. It's sad to
it
see you
sad.
Win, not
yeah.
to go and not come back. But that is, you know, a reality of life, and that we can do that. And they're great teachers in showing us how to do that.
Now, Denis, one thing that you've talked about in your book is also that experience that a lot of people have of letting their elderly friend or relative go, and that helps that person to actually die when they're ready to die.
That's true. One of the ways that I explain what Ula was just talking about, we have a cultural myth about the dying process, and we do have death and suffering and pain hooked together. And I think we're here to change that cultural myth. And part of it is, when I'm teaching, one of the premises I put out there is that we, the living, project upon the dying what we think they're going through. And the truth of the matter is, they are in a, we're projecting from the place of a living body, and they are in a dying body, right. And they're having a very different experience.
Although, I mean, having seen people die of cancer, there's a lot of suffering.
There is, but it's, again, it's what Ula's talking about. The actual dying process is not painful, and it doesn't create suffering. The disease, or the, or if it's a disease, can create the suffering, but I know lots of, my 98-and-a-half-year-old stepmother just said, take me home, put me on hospice, I don't want to recover from this broken hip.
Right.
She'd had no suffering. She laid in that bed for 2 months. She ate when she wanted to eat and drank when she wanted to drink, which wasn't very much, and she slipped out without any distress whatsoever. So it's the disease process or the disability that creates the suffering.
Right, but a lot of the time, that's how people die, is from their diseases.
Right, but they need to separate the two and know that the disease is what needs treating, and that a lot of times, I have seen people with cancer die without pain.
Is that right?
Yes. It is not guaranteed that you're going to be in pain. And hospice, and certainly at the sanctuary, we are experts in dealing with pain management. We know how the different medications for different types of pain, and that can be greatly reduced so that the natural dying process can be allowed to unfold, because there's so many blessings within that if we can line up with it as the one perceiving suffering.
Yeah. We're talking to Denny Cope and Ulla Peterson about Being with Dying, a presentation that's happening in just a little while, 11:45 at the Ponce de Leon Retirement Center at 640 Alta Vista.
And there's no charge, and it's open to the public.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so much of it is both with the animals and especially with the people we love. I mean, you're losing that person who you'll never get back. And I mean, you guys can tell us more than I know, but it seems like a lot of what people are going through is they're kind of grieving before the fact.
Right, that's right. And what's important for me, and I know for Ulla, is some of that grief can be reduced if people really understand what they're seeing, instead of going feeling bad about suffering and pain. That they really can learn to be with the process and receive some of the gifts while doing the grieving. You do both.
Right.
What do you mean by some of the gifts?
The gifts of, well, for me, the amount of intimacy that happens with human beings at the end is phenomenal. They're not going to put up with casual conversation. They are going to talk deeply and honestly to you if they want to talk. My dad didn't want to talk. So you have to allow them their death and not make them talk. But so many people go, I know I don't have much time, and I just need to let you know. And it can be profoundly life-changing.
Yes, and I completely agree. And, of course, we see that with in the process of the animals, too. And
they tell you their life stories?
Right.
My cat taught me about the dying process and was so loving as she died.
Right. Right. And, of course, we have volunteers and other caregivers involved, too, at different levels. And so a lot of things come up for them, too. As we learn to let go and move into a place of really deep intimacy with spirit. And I don't know anyone who... have not felt that. They may not be able to articulate it real well.
Even atheists?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
maybe especially so. Especially so, maybe. Yeah. They may not articulate it in a way that we would normally think of, but it is really a time of being acutely, I think, aware of the great mystery that we are in, and the fact that it really is spirit that infuses and informs our lives. And we get so busy in our normal lives, and we often forget, I think. But it's in these very intense situations where there's no other way. We have to surrender to the just to the presence of being with spirit. And letting go of that physical form and reality that we've been used to. there is no other way. And so there's reality that comes in. I think that is very, very powerful. It really is real.
One of the things that we both know is we in this Western culture tend to see ourselves as physical beings only. And what I've learned with the dying process, because I dropped off my religion when I was 18, what I've learned is it is a very spiritual experience. And when I'm giving my lecture, and there are atheists in there or people who say, you know, I'm Buddhist and there's nothing beyond this, what I know is that for me there's this spiritual energy field around everything. It's an amorphous love field. It isn't a great white guy up in the sky. For those people who cannot grab hold of that, what we all know, scientifically proven, is the quantum field exists. And the quantum field and the field that she and I believe in are one and the same. And that's where a lot of the healing, the unexplained healing and the mystery happens. So when I've got people who don't believe, and then I know this one guy who had an out-of-body experience and came back, and he was in a movie that I watched. He said, you know, I told him, you've got the wrong guy. I don't believe in you guys. So it's part of it is determined by our belief system, but there is a reality. And you invariably see spiritual experiences happening at the end of life. People start talking to their loved ones who have died before. It's a given.
And as you say in your book, it's different from delusions and hallucinations.
Right.
It has a different quality.
Yeah, they're totally oriented to who you are. They just are seeing something in the room that I cannot experience.
Yeah.
And I love Ula's story about the horse. Do you want to tell that?
Oh, yes. Of course, we do end-of-life care and hospice care for dogs and horses and poultry. So we have several quite elderly horses. And last year, one of them was in need to had a condition whereby he needed to be euthanized and the humane way to go. And his dear friend, Bo, was right there supporting him while the vet was there and getting ready and so forth.
Bo was another horse.
Yeah, Bo was another horse. Yes, okay. And the normal situation if you euthanize a horse is that they get the medication, then they get a little woozy, and then they collapse to the floor. And as partner was the horse that was going, as partner was getting just a little woozy and getting ready to collapse on the ground, very peacefully. It's not a dramatic kind of situation. It's Bo was there, and as the horse collapsed on the ground, the normal thing would be to really look at the body because it's a huge, big body falling to the ground. Instead, Bo stood very, very serenely and peacefully, and he looked up at the sky. And he literally looked from the body up through the sky and over the southwestern banks of the trees and into the clouds. And he stood there looking and looking and looking like that for several minutes. And then he returned to looking to the body. And then that was it. He was done.
So
whatever that means.
Yeah.
There we have it.
There we have it. Yeah.
And one of the things I loved about Ula, because I've been with that in human beings,
yeah,
but to hear you talk about animals having that same connection,
yeah,
I love it.
Yeah.
It's such an affirmation to me about the natural process and what,
yeah,
a huge mystery it is.
What a huge mystery it is. And always feel so honored, mm-hmm, to somehow been given this opportunity to be partaking in that to my little ways.
I was wondering, I mean, you talk about how toward the end of life people are not interested in small talk or petty nonsense. Has that been your experience also as caregivers for people and animals who are dying, that you're also no longer interested in small talk and petty nonsense in your own lives?
Less.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We see that too. And with the animals, it's probably in general, I would say. It's individual for each one. But nevertheless, there is a certain kind of generally withdrawing from all the little, you know, talking about your friends out there. You know, there's a withdrawing into a more maybe I would call it maybe a more serene kind of place. And where I know Denis also talks about how it's part of the natural process of withdrawing from food and water. Liquids and just kind of withdrawing from that. We see it with the dogs, especially with just kind of removing themselves from the outer world. Now with the chickens, for instance, because we rescue poultry also, with the chickens we see a fascinating way in that they have not been domesticated as much. And what we usually see is that they are not sick or show any signs of sickness, all of a sudden their life energy is used up and they keel over and die.
So they're just running around,
yep.
Cluck, 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 boom,
yep.
They're
yep.
gone.
They're boom, they're gone.
Our
that'd be
know
nice.
How to die. Our bodies know how to die.
Yeah, and so that's a very interesting thing where the other companion animals have been domesticated so much and they are so much of our personal or our personalities and our lifestyles and so forth. They don't any longer have that natural, I would say, nearly strength to pull them through this transition back into spirit. They are very attached to us and our lives and how they. What happens if to their caregiver when they live? Who's going to watch out over them? You know, all the projections and so forth. And they often have a lot of worry about that. They're held back.
Yeah.
And we see that a lot.
It's interesting, though. I mean, in nature, my understanding is that very few mammals live into old age and die a natural death. They are victims of predation. I mean, in the ecosystems that they evolved in. And so this process of getting old and coming to the end of your longest possible life cycle is almost a product of domestication.
Yes.
Well, and you think about the elephants. When an older elephant out in the wild knows it's going to die, it withdraws from the herd and goes off by itself. And that's what basically the animals are doing, is they're withdrawing from their connection to here. And part of that, I think, is because they know that they need the solitude to dry. And what it isn't a mental, gee, I have to go be alone. But it also takes the weakened animal away so predators aren't likely to come into the herd.
Right.
So it serves two purposes.
So that animal can say, okay, top predator, come and get me.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Which might be a better death than drawing it out over days or weeks.
Yeah.
For that animal.
Yeah, a month. Yeah.
We're talking to Denis Cope and Ola Peterson about the presentation that's happening in just a little while called Being with Dying. It's at the Ponce de Leon Retirement Center at 640 Alta Vista Street here in Santa Fe. And it starts at 11:45 and goes till 1 o'clock. And everybody is welcome. It's free to the public. You don't have to register or anything like that. And Ola, you are the founder and director of Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary. And on, let's see, May 11th and 12th, that weekend, the second weekend in May, you're having an open house with all kinds of good and fun stuff happening.
Yes, we do. And we welcome everyone in the community. It is a great time for families to come out and visit. And it's also the collective birthday party for all our seniors. So everybody is turning a year older there on May the 11th and 12th. Mm-hmm. There will be a big birthday card to sign, and there will be refreshments. There will be a gift table with all kinds of interesting jewelry and so forth. For it is also Mother's Day weekend. So,
yes, it's actually good, as I've found, little gift-giving. You can buy your little presents for people's birthdays or save until next Christmas or whatever.
Right, right, right. And it's all donated by local artists, and every penny goes to the animals. We are a nonprofit, of course. We also each day have talks and presentations by some of our wellness care providers. On Saturday from 12 to 1, we have a workshop called From Trauma to Healing with Dr. Marianne Schardler and myself. And from 2 to 3, we have animal communication with Lita Worthington, which is wonderful.
And then on Sunday, snake bites and canine massage.
Yeah.
And you can find out more at kindredspirits.org. You can also call 471 5366, and Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary is down Route 14 south of Santa Fe. And we look forward to that and to your presentation later today.
Well, thank you, Mary Charlotte, for having us. It's been a delight. It's our favorite topic.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mary Charlotte.
And yeah. All, just everyone who's interested, please come in a couple of hours to Ponce de Leon, and it's wide open to the public, and the more the merrier.
Well, thank you both very much for being here and for the work you do for our community.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.